Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Nancy H. Hansen is the Vice President of Evangelical Relations and member of the Board of Directors for the Houston Foundation, a grant-making charitable foundation. She's also the founder and president and CEO of Capstone Legacy Foundation, a Christian community foundation. Nancy was formerly chairman and CEO of Hansen Development Corporation, a land development company, and retired director of Lukens Incorporated, a Fortune 500 company. We pause here at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio show is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, for you to know the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God through Christ, who loves you so much, dear friend, that he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ calls you to himself. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, there is always hope in Jesus. Nancy Hansen lives in Malvern, Pennsylvania, and Kennedyville, Maryland. Nancy, welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's so wonderful to be here and to hear your heart and you're reminiscing about our precious Lord and Savior, which is what it's all about, isn't it?
Indeed. Nancy, where did you grow up?
Well, I started life in Ohio, but at a young age grew up and spent the rest of my days in Pennsylvania.
What are some of your treasured memories growing up there in Ohio and maybe later in Pennsylvania?
Well, my mother's family were from Ohio, so she had a very, very close family relationship with her brothers and sister. And so we, in our early childhood, had a wonderful time of realizing family closeness and growing up with cousins by the dozens. And so it was really a very special time. But when I was very young, my father had actually been raised in Pennsylvania with a family that owned a steel company. And so he was called back and we returned as I was 4 years of age, but always loved going back to Ohio, and yet had a wonderful, wonderful home in Pennsylvania and a family that was close there as well.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
That's interesting because I've thought about the question, and I would say my grandparents were huge influences because my grandfather was a Quaker who married a Presbyterian and ended up leaving the Quaker faith, but they both had a strong biblical worldview. They loved the Bible. They loved the people that they served, and they shared the scriptures, and my grandmother played the organ, and so they would go into the mill, and they would sing hymns and preach, and that was very, very powerful to me to see their love of the Lord and how deeply he was a part of their lives.
How would you describe the impact of their example?
It was very profound for me because my grandfather was a quiet man, but he had a great depth to him, and I used to love to go into the steel mill with him when I was young, and we'd go through the making of steel at that time, and they had an open hearth furnace. And when I was reading about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they were thrown into the fire, when you open the door to a big furnace of steel, and you see that molten steel cooking and the flames coming out, you realize how accurate Scripture is to some of the things that took place then. So there were things that I saw in their lives that were lived out in the things of the Lord, and how each person in that mill meant so much to my grandfather, and he knew everyone by name. And that was all very, very important.
Your faith, you mentioned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego seeing a real furnace in operation. Nancy, how would you describe your own faith journey? How did you become a Christian?
Well, my father had been brought up in a very strong Christian home, as I have just told you about my grandparents. And so as we grew up, instead of hearing fables and bedtime stories, we heard things about the Bible, and we all kind of had our favorites. And as we moved east and we went to churches, we would join churches, and they would ask us to profess our faith. And that was important. But I went to camp one summer when I was 9, and I was always interested in singing and music. And there was a person who had a very wonderful ability to sing with a yodel. And I was very fascinated with that. And as I was learning about it, I was also learning about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it went from being in the pulpit and Sunday school to a personal, vital relationship that I needed to have personally with Jesus Christ myself. And that's when I received him as my Savior at 9 years of age at camp.
What difference would you say, of course, 9 years old and through your life, what difference would you say your relationship with Christ has made a difference in your life?
Well, he made all the difference in my life. I had something called dyslexia when I was little, and they ended up sending me away to boarding school when I was 11, and that was a difficult time. But I spent a lot of time outside and in the evenings and looking at the sky and just thinking about the creator of the universe and that was there, and just wondering about the things that I'd been taught and the things that were yet to be seen. At the same time, I was in a very liberal school, and there was a challenge to my faith for the first time. And so I came to Christ as a 9-year-old as Savior, but at 11, I was challenged about other beliefs and how evolution was what really formed our world, not God. And so I had that struggle until I went to another boarding school at 13, where I heard the Bible preached in a way that resonated with my heart. And even going at home and sharing the doubts that I had, I began to really search out what the truth was. And the Lord never lets you go once he gets your heart.
Nancy, thank you. You mentioned not being diagnosed. Did you say until 9 or was it 11?
Yeah, it was when I was 11, they really didn't understand what dyslexia was then, and there was a disconnect between my abilities to show the proficiencies in my IQ and my abilities to project them in certain studies that I had. And so they felt that the best thing was to send me away to something called a progressive boarding school, which meant you could be in different grades in different subjects.
Exactly. But my question is, had you suffered much in your, like, from 6 to 11 with that dyslexia?
You're very perceptive. Yeah, it's very, very difficult because you don't see things the way other people see them.
Exactly.
Oh, so you have to learn to find subject matter that helps you to relate to things that help you to even decide where your right hand is versus your left hand, which is the side, the right side, which is the left side. Those things that are going, stems that go up and stems that go down in your alphabet, and circles that should be on the right side and on the left side. And you don't realize why you're different. You just know that you don't see the way everybody else does.
Exactly. I am a school teacher by profession, but I've not worked with dyslexic children per se, but I know the background of it. And so praise the Lord that you found him at 9, or he found you, and then that he was able to, I'm sure, really be a rock for you to lean on.
Yes, he was.
You're listening to Nancy Hansen as she shares with us in this time a very tender moment, sharing heart to heart, really sharing heart to heart with you, dear friend, as you listen. I'm so grateful that you're joining with us today here at the Good Life radio program. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer and Nancy H. Hansen. When we come back from our break, more from Nancy. Nancy is the Vice President of Evangelical Relations and member of the Board of Directors for the Houston Foundation. It's a grant-making charitable foundation. When you hear about the Houston Foundation, well, it doesn't take long. There is a connection to the World Trade Center. There's a connection to Lukens Steel Company. It's one of the industrial accomplishments, actually. The arch supports for the New York City's World Trade Center. It's the only one standing after 9/11. You can actually see it there at the World Trade Center, Lukens Steel Company. That's just a little, well, it's not little, it's major part of what God has done and what God continues to do through the Houston Foundation and Nancy Hansen and those who serve with her. And many lives are being impacted because of the foundation and the support that is given on a regular basis to both Protestant evangelical organizations as well as secular organizations. Stay with us. We'll be back.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Indeed, the grace of the Lord Jesus, the grace of God, relates with each one in. And God relates with you, us, in his unique way. Regardless how we perceive our world or how we look at things that in some instances may be different from others, but the Lord is able to communicate with us in ways that we understand. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with Suzanne Maurer, my co-host, and our guest today, Nancy Hansen. Nancy is a board member of the Christian Film and Television Commission, Movie Guide, and Grain of Wheat International, an international child evangelism ministry. She's a trustee of the Academy of Natural Science in Philadelphia and member of the Glasgow Presbyterian Church in Glasgow, Delaware. You can find out more about the Houston Foundation at houstonfoundation.org. And this program in its entirety is a free podcast at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Nancy, how has the life of Rebecca Lukens, I think it's your great-great-grandmother, how has she been an inspiration to you?
Well, Rebecca was a Quaker young lady in the 1800s when there were probably many children and not all of them lived. And in her case, only the girls lived, and she loved her father, who had a foundry, and she went to work alongside of him, which was unusual in those days. And she married a doctor who left medicine and also came to work with the foundry. And she had six children, and so she was also working a farm with her husband. And as time went on, her father died, leaving she and her husband to work the foundry. And within a few years, her husband died, leaving her at 33 with six children and being the only one to continue the work of her father, which was unusual for women and particularly Quaker ladies. But she loved her father, and she loved her husband and wanted to serve, and she loved her Lord. And she had a deep faith, and so it was the Lord who sustained her. And we had a time in our country when there was a downturn economically, and her husband had asked her not to let the men be laid off, so she took them to the farm, and then when things turned around, went back to the foundry. And she began to hear about this steam engine and was very interested in it, and talked to some of the other men in business and encouraged the steam engine to come east to take product around the country. And she turned the foundry into a steel mill. And that's where the open hearths and others were created. And she was a woman of deep faith. She served her community, her family, and the people who worked in the mill. But she served her Lord. He was first and foremost in her life. And years later, Rebecca was known as the first woman of steel. And she always affirmed that it was her walk and her trust and her belief in the Lord that really enabled her to progress in the company the way it did and to change it from a foundry to a steel mill.
I'm wondering if you can grace us with an opportunity to hear how, as you grew to learn about Rebecca, what went on in your heart, and how did it influence perhaps some of your vision or your ambitions for the future?
Actually, it was a life that we had learned about, and as we grew up, there were a lot of other things that were pulling away at our lives. But it was her great-great-granddaughter, which was my aunt, that had a tremendous impact on my life, because she had followed in her great-great-grandmother's legacy. She finished in finishing school in New York, and she spent a summer in the hills of Kentucky with the Kentucky Mountain people and fell in love with them. And she gave most of her life to the Appalachian Mountain people to bring a good quality of education, to bring Jesus into the hearts and homes of the people, to bring Bible studies, to bring music and love, and just to love them to Jesus. And she had a wonderful temperament, and she loved to share the stories that just became endeared in our hearts. And she gave 80% of what she had away. She had many children, though she had never married. She had children in the communities go to school and then go on to college, and she supported them. And it was never a big thing to her, because it was always about Jesus. and it was a big thing to see those lives changed and transformed. And as she shared what was happening, it had a deep impact in my life.
I'm thinking, looking at the Quaker doctrine, as I looked upon the website there at the Steele Museum, about the Quaker business, the Quaker doctrine, rather, that there's no division between secular and sacred. It sounds like your aunt did that. There was a blend of an understanding and the integration of her life with the Appalachian Mountain people. How does that blending of the sacred and the secular, the Quaker tradition, impact the way you view the world and even the Houston Foundation and what you do today?
Well, there are a lot of really wonderful people doing tremendous things in the secular world. I got into it myself by working with a local family service of Chester County well after the Second World War. And there was a need because there were so many women without husbands and sons, and they had lost so much during the Second World War. And that's when a lot of the reforms came to our country and our culture. But what people didn't realize is they then began to shirk off the things of the Lord because so much of that had been done by the churches. And I began to doubt that there was really the ability for people to be healed. And I mentioned that to some friends of mine who had a very strong faith and had seen people really get healed and be changed by the love of Jesus. And I began to realize that the secular can only do so much because it's like sitting on a two-legged stool. You have to have your feet on the ground to be able to stand, but when you have Jesus Christ, you have the third leg, and you can rest and sit on him, and he can support you, undergird you, and that's when I began to realize that we needed Jesus in our lives. We needed the power of the Holy Spirit to give us guidance and to take us where the world cannot take us, and that became a decided change in my own life.
It sounds like your conviction, well, learning about it and then believing it and seeing the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit work in and through our lives. There's sometimes a gap between the understanding of it in our minds and the actual belief of it in our hearts that works itself out in our lives. Were there events that took you through this process that sort of galvanized that experience for you?
It's interesting that you should ask, because actually, when I, just before my 30th birthday, I really realized that I had been watching my aunt. I watched my grandparents. I knew that they had something I didn't have. And my aunt was always trying to save me, and I said, I'm saved. I did receive Christ. But I said, you know, I wasn't exactly walking where she thought I should be as a child of God. And I knew she had something I didn't have. And one time I asked her a question, and she said, well, I'll ask the Lord. And I said, well, what does he do, talk to you? And she said, yes. And I said, well, he never talked to me. And she said, you probably don't listen. So it was a question in my heart and in my mind. And there was a real time of wrestling with what I saw them have and what I knew I didn't. And through what I just shared with you and other things, I came to realize that there were people who had a walk different than mine. And actually, it became a lordship issue. And when I was 30, my aunt introduced me to someone who was going to gently coax me into my own search and desire for something in the Lord that was fuller than what I'd experienced. And there was a day when I came to the point of really asking him to be my Lord, and I realized that I had not been, he had not been the only one at the helm. It had been me too when I was, from the time I was 9 till I was 29. But when I turned 30, he became Lord of my life. And it was just as dramatic a change as when he became Savior.
You know, there's so many of our listeners that I think are just out on the edge of their chair listening to this, because it's too common a thread in many people's lives. And I so appreciate your transparency in sharing this. Also, I'm so moved by the rich heritage and longevity you have of Christianity in your family, going back to great-great-grandparents. Mm. Wonderful.
Well, you know, I've realized, too, that there have been prayers of people who have been such a vital part of what happens in our lives, because God is so faithful, and maybe they didn't live to see it, but God is faithful whether they are here, whether they aren't, that he will fulfill what they have persevered in prayer to request of him. And I have been a part of that blessing, and mm-hmm. I've known that blessing in my life. Prayers become very important to me, because it all kind of is there. That's where you really meet at the throne, and that's where you have that wonderful relationship and the intervention of God in your life and your openness to him. And it is the value in the person and the work of prayer that really makes the difference. It's made the difference in my working with the Houston Foundation, and it's made the difference in starting Capstone.
See, let's talk about prayer when we come back from our break. There's just nothing quite like hearing someone speak about the ministry of prayer, the power of prayer, the dynamism of prayer. Well, the relationship with God, that intimacy that integrates or really moves so intertwined with prayer. You're listening to Nancy H. Hansen. Nancy is the Vice President of Evangelical Relations and member of the Board of Directors of the Houston Foundation. The Houston Foundation is a grant-making charitable foundation. When we come back from our break, more with Nancy, talking about prayer. My friend, you've heard her share. I wonder if you've ever wondered if there's more. Have you ever considered, even as she spoke with her aunt, well, God doesn't speak to me, and her aunt says, well, maybe you're not listening. Are you listening, my friend? I think that's a question I need to ask myself, too. Am I listening? Are we listening? Is the Lord driving the car of your life, or is he in the passenger seat and you're still driving? Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
I'm so grateful you're with us today, my dear one, my friend. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Thanks for joining us today. Nancy Hansen is with us here with Danny Yamashiro here and Suzanne Maurer. Prayer, the power of prayer, the dynamism of prayer. Have you been praying? Have you been hearing or seeing and witnessing the Lord answer your prayers? The Good Life Radio Show here. You can find out more about the Houston Foundation at houstonfoundation.org. Nancy, you talked a little bit before our break about prayer, but What difference has prayer made in your life?
Oh, it's made all the difference. And actually, after I committed my life to Jesus as Lord, it's just interesting to see how he will move heaven and earth to open up your understanding and to bring you into places where you're going to come into a much deeper personal relationship with him. And prayer isn't going to be repeating other prayers, but it's going to take you into a place where you can be real and open and honest with the Lord, and you can feel his pleasure, you can feel his presence, you can feel his understanding, his compassion, and his care. And he opens up that world for you with other people. And he really enabled me to meet with people. There was a time when he took me into a form of counseling with things that I had learned at his feet and before him in prayer. And just to be able to help people to come into his presence and to just experience his love, his touch in their lives, and the release of things that are so entrap us at times that sometimes are more simple than we think, but we let them get so completely into positions of having control that we lose how to get out of some of the circumstances we're in. And when we come to Jesus, he takes the complex and he straightens it out, and he just brings that wonderful grace and that wonderful peace, and he helps. And sometimes it's really led to what I've called healing of memories, where we can bring situations that happen in our lives that can be catastrophic at times and bring them into the presence of the Lord. And when his love comes into that place and he heals, and he fills it with the presence of himself and his love and his compassion and his care. It's very exciting to see people set free. And it's something that just, there's never enough of Jesus and the things that you really just want to lay hold of him and to feel his presence and enter into his courts with thanksgiving and with praise. And he fills that place. He brings you into that place. Nothing delights his heart more. And in each person's life, he has something so much for them to just unfold as a flower just opens to the sun when his love comes into our hearts and our lives. It's really exciting to see what he has for each and every one of us. He's got something special, all the gifts and all the wonderful talents he's put into people's lives. And when his light shines on us and the spirit within us that he places within us of his, when we really turn ourselves over to him, it's beautiful to see lives just unfold and what he does with them.
Maybe an example, but let's sort of play it out, as it were. As a listener, a dear listener right now, has a searing memory of something that has taken place in his or her life, and perhaps they've gone on, they've lived life, and they've gone on pretty well. They might not know the disparity between what is or what could be, but something happened. Maybe a number of things happened, and they look at it as a collective. Maybe they've even blocked it out. But it's a part of their life that is a memory or blocked out memory of very great pain. How this ministry of prayer that you've learned and that you've seen in your own life and in others, what would you say to somebody who has gone through some very dark times? And how would you, in this rather short period, but sort of take them through what could be experienced in Christ?
Well, as we will talk to people, and just first of all, I go to them very prayed up, because I know that of myself I can't do anything. It's really the Lord who does it. And so it's really a matter of just seeking Him to help me understand what is happening in their lives. And then as we talk about it, when we come into the places of pain, it's stopping right where that pain is evident, and then just lifting that person to Jesus and asking Him to just wash them and cleanse them and heal them from that memory. And that as we present that memory to the Lord, that He will just literally take it up into Himself, and He will release it from their thought life and from their memory. And in its place, He will show them that He was there, and He cared for them, and He loved them. And His love superseded anything that was being seen and felt, because He was right there caring for them. And just to allow them to experience that, and that He would remove that pain, that memory, and so fill it with Himself, with a whole new impression of His love, of His person, of His being there, and just committing that to Him and Him into that place. I've just seen Him over and over again release it and take it away, that even when there's been the desire to go back and to recall the pain, if it truly was released to Him, and just seeing Him come in and fill that place, that it's no longer a vacant place, it's no longer a place of pain. It's a place of love and embrace and care and provision.
Listens today, and perhaps as they hear you speak, Nancy Hansen, they say, I want that. I never knew that was available. I don't know how to get that. I don't know how to experience that. I don't know if I hear God. I want to. But there is this part in me, and it's a broken part. I've tried what I could, but nothing seems to be adequate. Nancy, could you speak to that dear person? Could you maybe even lead in a prayer for someone today who is going through a very, very painful moment? And it brings to bear, even when we talk about the subject.
I just say, Jesus is here. He loves you. He gave you His life, your life. And He gave you His life when He went to the cross. That's really what we are about to celebrate. The unbelievable price that the Son of God paid for us. And in that payment, He's reached out His heart of love and compassion to us. There's no pain, there's no suffering that we can know that He didn't already know and He didn't go through for us. And if we just visualize Him and you bring to that point where that pain and that hurt is, sometimes it's almost too hard to be able to allow the whole part of it to come. And you're not meant to. You're just meant to give it to Him who's already done everything for you. And He's done that to give you His life, to give you His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the living God, to come into your heart and into your life and into your mind, where all of those things are stored. And He wants to relieve you now. He wants to wash you with that blood that was shed at the cross of Calvary. He wants to touch you with His love, with His compassion. And He wants you to be healed and released. So just bring it to Him and release it to Him. And we're going to ask that Jesus, by the power that is in Him, by the Holy Spirit, will come into your mind, into your emotions, into the deep recesses of that pain and that hurt. and he's going to release you from that and take it up into himself with his nail-scarred hands. And the Holy Spirit of the living God's going to move and move and brood and brood over all of that and take away the hurt and take away the pain. And he's going to fill you with such a sense of his love, how much he loves you, that love that bore everything for us and for you. And he wants you to know that, and he wants that to be taken up, never to be experienced again. And you will know his love. You will know his the peace that passes understanding. You'll know his comfort. And never again will that be able to be something you can recall, because he's filled it with a whole other vision, a whole other piece of himself. That no longer is a scar, but it's the light and love of Jesus Christ. Only that will you remember, and nothing else of what took place before. It's released, it's free, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful.
Nancy Henson, ministering in prayer, ministering even in the deepest recesses of our lives. My friend, Christ, through her, the living Christ, administers his healing touch on you. Even through these radio waves, even through the internet, in the hearing of this program, the hearing of our voices, the Lord, the mighty Holy Spirit, ministers his tender, loving touch of healing and restoration on you. When we come back, more from Nancy Henson, all the grace and mercy of God. Hey, when we gather together like this, we just can never plan. Really, we can set some things up in terms of our direction, but once we get started, you know how it is. The Spirit of the Lord leads us, and we move forward in his grace, by faithfulness to him as best we can, by his grace, to reach out. Oh, the love of God for you. You can find out more about this program, hear it again, share it with a friend or family member at thegoodlifehawaii.com. When we come back, we'll hear more from Nancy Henson and about the Houston Foundation. You've gotten a taste of the ministry of the Lord through her. Now, beyond that, the way that God uses the foundation that she serves as the Vice President of Evangelical Relations and member of the Board of Directors, again, for the Houston Foundation. And this is a heart-to-heart moment. We're being touched by the Lord. So stay with us, okay? We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Yes, in the last segment, of course, Nancy Henson led in a prayer, profound, deep, meaningful, as you opened yourself up to the Lord coming in and working in your life. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. Find out more about this program, share it with a friend at thegoodlifehawaii.com, and Nancy Henson at houstonfoundation.org. Nancy,
Danny, if I could just say it's Houston, H-U-S-T-O-N.
That's correct. Yes, Houston, yes. H-U-S-T-O-N. Thank you, Suzanne. H-U-S-T-O-N, foundation.org. Nancy, after the ministry there, someone today might not know what to do next. Maybe a swell of emotions. What's the transition like? What would you recommend someone do after the Lord comes and starts working in their life, and they might not even know how to explain it or describe it?
Well, I find that usually when those things happen, you just have a tremendous sense of peace and a tremendous sense of comfort. And at times it can be a terrific feeling of joy. And the Lord has written his love letter to us, and it's called the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so important to get into it and to really read the richness of the things he's had to say. And the Psalms are a wonderful place to go, because David knew a lot of challenges in his life, a lot of disappointments, things that all of us can feel and experience. And some of those prayers are really, really pertinent to the things that we go through ourselves. And it just helps our prayer life as we start to really want to lay hold of the Lord in prayer. And sometimes we don't know how to start. I know that when I had come to him as Lord and I really wanted to enter into the fullness of the things of himself, my aunt sent me a great big box that I think she poured every pamphlet she had ever had into it and sent it to me. And I'm not that great a reader. So I said to the Lord, you better show me which one that you want me to read. And there was one about prayer. And it said that if you don't know how to start praying, but you want to just get in a time of praise and worship, get into the Psalms and just pray them. And then as you get into prayer, you begin to feel the prayer of the Lord start to take over, and praise and worship and just worship him and thank him and praise him for all that he does and what he's done. And he will guide you. He will see that you find fellowship, because that's important. You find a place where he's preached, somebody who loves him, somebody who loves his word and feels so compelled to give the word as the word, not changing it to what we think it should say, but what it really says and what it means, because the word of God is pregnant with meaning. And when we allow ourselves to just dwell and think on it and ask him for understanding and ask him to speak to our hearts, the book of John is a wonderful place to start in the Bible and just put our own name there when he's talking about how Jesus related to him and he relates to others and what he has to say about us as the sheep of his pastures and of the things that Jesus talks about as the good shepherd and as the one who is our keeper and our provider. And just take that personally and just let that be something as a very precious gift that he gives to you. And take time to embrace that thought and to thank him for that and to thank him for being that in our lives. And it changes. And to find places and people who we can share these precious things with. There are times when you'll go to share and it kind of falls flat because people aren't able to understand what you're saying, but then there's times you share and there are people who are so excited about what you found and what they found. And when we can share that together, it just brings a joy in our hearts and spirits, because he wants you to experience the joy of the Lord. That's part of what he has given everything for us to experience in him. Mm-hmm. It's a relationship. We think of it as a religion, but it isn't. It's a personal walk with a personal, loving God. And who is not seen becomes more real than what is seen when we allow him to have that deep, intimate fellowship that he's given us life to have, and he's given his son's life for us to experience anything that breaks that from us so that we can come into his person and just experience him and experience that love and that life and try to find others who have had that experience with him. And he cares more about your finding that person than you do. So as you ask him, it says, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. And if we ask, we will receive. So that's the best suggestions that I can have, because he's faithful and he will do it if we ask him.
Nancy, thank you so much for ministering
yes.
to our
yes.
ministering to us, ministering to our dear listeners. What a blessing, what a divine appointment this has been.
The pregnancy of his word, that's going to resonate with me for quite a while. I've not heard that. So many beautiful sharings, Nancy. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome, and thank you for what you have brought to so many, and just the love of the Lord that shines through you as well. And it's just been a special time to fellowship together.
Thank you.
Touching Ministry from Nancy Hansen. Nancy Hansen at HoustonFoundation.org. Yes, that's Houston, H-U-S-T-O-N, Foundation.org. Dear one, you know, God's timing is indeed perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And my friend, if you haven't done so, we believe, hey, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehoy.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your financial support, thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. Psalm 78, verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Nancy Hansen at HoustonFoundation.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.
Just leave it to me. I'll leave.